Good morning. Can we all turn in our devotionals to page 130? Today is Friday, April 4th. And the passage is from John chapter 13, verses 21 through 35. And the title of today's devotional is Love One Another. After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Let me read the devotional to you. Today's devotional is written by Tobin Miller. He is the teaching pastor at Watermark Community Church. The Last Supper was definitely not a happy time for the disciples in the upper room. What was supposed to be a celebration of God's provision to his people had quickly turned into a time of darkness as the realization that betrayal was near and that Jesus' time on earth was about to end. And yet, in these darkest of times, Jesus says these amazing words, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him." Or we could say, "Now God's purpose is advanced and fulfilled, even amidst what seems like a hopeless situation." Jesus then gives them and us a new commandment, which he had been modeling for them and us all along. Love one another. The historian Will Durant, who was not a follower of Jesus, said, "If Jesus could teach people to love one another, it would change the history of the world." But how can we do this? The passage tells us, in the original words, "Since I have loved you, in order that you might love one another." Jesus is saying that his love for us will stimulate and awaken within us the ability to love others, and in fact, this love will be the identifying mark of our love for Jesus. The Bible calls this the power of the gospel, and it is this power that not only saves us for eternity, but that also empowers us to live life and love others today. So I wanted to share a couple of thoughts and observations that I made as I was reading this passage. Obviously this passage takes place, it's the Last Supper. Pretty soon Jesus is going to die on the cross. And as I was reading this, I was really... I was kind of struck by Jesus' character, and I guess what I mean by that is because we understand that Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man, and I picture this, and I imagine that he was sitting there having dinner with his disciples, you know, his friends. He's been with them for 3 years, and he knows what's about to come, right? He's gonna, you know, be humiliated and mocked and just stripped naked and whipped and. And ultimately, he's going to get nailed to the cross and die. And he knows that it's all going to be triggered by this, by one of his friends, you know, stabbing him in the back. And I can imagine that he must have been so, like, torn. He was, like, wrestling in his spirit. It says here that he was troubled in his spirit. And I wonder if, you know, at this time he was, I mean, even though he knows that, you know, this is the prophecy and this has to be fulfilled, you know, there must have been an element of him that felt like, man, this kind of sucks. And he's kind of just reaching out to his friends and his buddies and saying, "Hey, guys," and, you know, sharing his burdens the way we would do, you know, with our friends and our families or at our house churches, you know, which would be a very natural thing for us to do. And then he actually tells his disciples, hey guys, one of you guys is going to betray me. The thing here that I find interesting and that I, for a long time, I don't really understand is, you know, he does it in such a way, it's kind of like Jesus' MO, really. Like, he does it in such a way where, like, no one seems to understand what he's talking about, right? Like, it's still a big riddle, and no one really understands. And, you know, for a long time, I just kind of, you know, just took that at face value, and I was like, that's just kind of how he is. But more and more, I feel like the purpose of him telling them, you know, one of you will betray me, because that's like a huge, huge bomb, right, to land, to throw on somebody. But I feel like the purpose wasn't to tell people that, you know, Judas is going to betray me. I feel like the purpose, the objective for him saying, you know, someone's going to betray me, was to give the betrayer, so Judas, I feel like he was giving him an opportunity to repent and come back. Because if he wanted to tell them, hey guys, you know, someone's going to betray me, and, you know, it's that guy over there, his name is Judas, I feel like he could have done it in a much better way, because this was a really lousy way of doing it, right? I mean, he could have, what he should have done was stood up and said, hey everyone, I have an announcement to make. Someone's going to betray me. Should I tell you who it is? It's that guy over there. His name is Judas, FYI. I feel like that would have been a much more effective way if that was the objective, but he doesn't do that. He does it very quietly, right? No fuss, no fanfare. And, you know, because, you know, if he'd done it the other way, you have to imagine, if he announced it to everyone, you have to think that someone, probably Peter, would have gotten up, walked over to Judas, and just, like, punched him in the face, right, and been like, are you serious, and just, you know, body slammed him a couple of times. And so, you know, and that's not how he is. Like, Jesus is, I feel like he's giving Judas one chance, one final opportunity. Hey, I know this is going to happen, this could happen, but, you know, you don't have to do this. And he's kind of giving him an out. And it's interesting that he gives him this bread and he dips it in, you know, like whatever it was, like hummus or whatever it is. And if you read the commentary, the sign of bread, like being dipped and being handed across, is it's really a sign of respect. It's actually like a sign of honor and love. And, you know, I read this and it's fascinating to me that even like to the end, right, even in the midst of what is about to come, he knows, you know, soon he's going to be on the cross and he's going to be bearing the weight of all of the sins of everyone, right? At that moment, in the past, and the sins to come, at the moment, it's just going to be all on him. And, like, God, his Father, is going to turn away momentarily. And he, you know, he understands all this, and yet he's still thinking about others. And he's still giving the one who's going to, you know, just turn him over, he's giving him an opportunity and saying, hey, you know, you can come back. And he gives him this piece of bread, which, of course, Judas takes, and he doesn't repent. And then, you know, that's kind of the end of that for him. I read this and I feel like the whole, like, him being troubled and in his spirit, and it comes up periodically here and there, you know, it really demonstrates the human side of Jesus. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I read it and I notice that, you know, because it's like bubbling up, right? The human side of him, it's like it can't help but come out, but it never compromises his godliness, right? It never compromises who he is as God. And, you know, I thought that was a very, you know, interesting takeaway for me. The second thing that I got was really about the passage, which is about, you know, loving one another, which is the new commandment that Jesus leaves us with. You know, it's just a good reminder for me that, you know, that loving is a choice. You know, God tells us to love, and it's not always easy to love. I mean, it's easy to love your family and your kids and your friends, but, you know, there are many out there who are not quite so lovable. And for those people and for our neighbors and our colleagues and, you know, the people around us, you know, the act of loving, it wouldn't come so naturally, and therefore it has to be a choice, a conscious decision that we make. You know, it has to be an intentional act that we make, you know, to follow his commandment. I actually, you know, feel like if you flip it around, I mean, before I go there, like, I feel like we do this, and, you know, let's lump that in, like, let's lump loving with serving or, you know, doing things at church. I know sometimes the pastoral staff will ask us, sort of like strong arm us sometimes into, you know, doing things like, you know, leading EMP on a Friday morning. You know, and then you're like, oh, I don't want to do this. I'm tired or whatever. I'm, like, busy. But I believe that as we serve and as we love and as we do God's work, I believe that we invite the Holy Spirit. So even if it's like an act of obligation at first, I feel like there's something there. In the same way, if we flip it, I feel like when we sin, you know, we invite the enemy. I think it's interesting in this passage. You know, if we go back to like the first part when Jesus offers this bread, right, and it's like it's kind of like, you know, his life belt, if you will. You know, this is your out. Take this, and then you can repent and you can come back. And Jesus takes it. With the wrong intentions, and it's interesting to me that as soon as he takes it, that's when Satan entered into him, which is what it says here in Scripture. Now, obviously, Satan's everywhere, and he's, I'm sure, trying his hardest to make us fall and tempt us and all that. And yeah, all of that's true, but I feel like there's something that when Satan comes into us, I feel like it's because we invited him in, and in the same way, you know. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, it's because we invited him in. And, you know, we serve and we do these things. Maybe at first it's, you know, kind of an act of obligation and, you know, it's a duty. You know, but, you know, I feel like as we do it, as we just obey, I think there's something that it triggers. I feel like we invite the Holy Spirit in, and then eventually, you know, we transform, and that love and our act of service and our act of obedience, it becomes more real. It becomes like woven into our DNA. It becomes part of who we are. You know, those were what I took away. Maybe we can just, as we prepare for worship, we can just take a minute and let's just think about Jesus. Think about, you know, the man that he was while he was here, but also the God that he is and he continues to be. And let's thank him for his goodness and his sacrifice for us. And let's really just ask him to transform us so that we can obey him, that we can love, and we can love one another the way that he loved us.
He is jealous.
Let's take a minute to pray for Tobin Miller. He is the teaching pastor at Watermark Community Church. Let's just cover him. Let's cover his ministry and his family, his wife Christina, and his four children, Rachel, Rebecca, Kip, and Caitlin. And let's just cover Pastor Tobin at this time. Thank you.
into our community focus. Let's cover those members in our community and their families who are, you know, struggling and wrestling with cancer. You know, their names are up on the screen, so let's just lift them up, each and every one, and let's lift them up into the Lord. Cover those in our community who are sick and are ill, but more importantly, who need to know Jesus and to meet Jesus. And let's, and their names are on the screen as well. Let's just cover them. Let's just ask for His salvation power to come into their lives. Folks in our community who have family and friends or just themselves who are sick, who have some infirmities, you know, surgeries and whatnot. Let's just cover them. Let's cover all of them and ask for complete healing, complete restoration. Can we cover those who are looking for work and looking for jobs? You know, people who are just in a season of rest and are ready to come back and then join, you know, and just, yeah, and start working. Let's just cover them. Let's ask for God to open up doors and opportunities for them. Pray for our community, our broader community. Let's pray for Hong Kong. You know, this is our home at this time. Let's pray for the government here. Let's pray for the closing of the wealth gap. Let's pray for, you know, revival. And, you know, let's pray for all the ministries that are here, you know, that we are affiliated with and that we support in some way. Let's pray for all of them. You know, and let's ask that God would really use them mightily, you know, in our community, in this city. Pray for our missions committee. Our missions committee consists of Pastor Sam, Pastor Eugene, Jamie Donaldson, John Kang, Sarah Ho, and Janella Chan. Let's cover them. Let's ask that God would give them wisdom and really a heart, you know, for the lost and a heart for the poor. Yeah, let's just lift up our missions committee. Cover our local outreach ministries, our community center, Igape, HOMI, SP Lights, Freedom, which is our prison ministry, Mother's Choice, Bridge, which is our translation ministry. Let's just cover all of them. You know, let's yeah, that we would be impactful as we, you know, as we undertake our local outreach. Thank you. let's pray for all the activities that are going on tonight on Friday. Let's pray for SPU. Let's pray for River, EG, and let's pray for the house churches that are meeting today, so McCain House Church and Discovery Bay. Let's just cover all of these things. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and your love for us, God. We know that you love us so much, and even when you were, you know, getting ready and preparing yourself to die on the cross, God, you were thinking of us, and you were thinking of saving us and rescuing us, God. And we just thank you for who you are, God. And we thank you for your love for us, Lord. And you know, help us, God, to be, you know, just more effective stewards of that love, God, that we would take your love, God, and that we'd use it to love others as you have commanded us to. So, God, we ask for transformation, more transformation in our hearts in that way. God, we thank you, God. Bless this day, God. Would you watch over each and every one of us, God, as we go about our businesses today, and protect this day, God, from the enemy. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. So before we wrap up, I forgot to mention something. Tomorrow is a public holiday, and so there will not be an early morning prayer, just as an FYI. Thank you.